To the brightest audience in the country, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. You may have heard about a pastor, former Muslim from Iran, fled his home country in America, and he goes to the Mall of America, where we've gone during hockey tournaments in Minnesota. And they come across some Somalis. They end up talking, random conversation. One asks about his Muslim background, and they find out he's not a Muslim, he's now a Christian. And they're just talking, and someone listening in calls security, and Pastor Rahman Parsa ends up getting arrested. And so I was comparing this to what happened to me back a few years ago and thought, what happened to Pastor Parsa is even worse. I was here in Colorado in the Denver area, passing out literature. Actually, I handed a single flyer to a mom and a daughter in a shopping center parking lot, and they wanted the flyer. It was outside of a Planned Parenthood clinic, an office, and the daughter had to do homework, an assignment on the abortion controversy. So they were so thrilled, and they were so nice. They were going into Planned Parenthood to get literature, and here right in the parking lot was somebody giving them literature on the side that says abortion is wrong. And I was there with some amount of confidence because the Colorado Supreme Court had already ruled on the topic. One of our church members from years ago, Aaron Robertson, had been doing the same thing, and he was arrested. And it ended up going up to the Colorado Supreme Court, and they ruled, and consistent with the U.S. Supreme Court. The U.S. Supreme Court said at a shopping center, you have as much freedom of speech as your local laws and your local state Supreme Court decide that you have. Okay, so the Colorado Supreme Court said you could leaflet at a shopping center. So that was it. So I was doing that. I was arrested, even though the only flyer I gave was to a mother and daughter who wanted it. I took the case not before a jury, it sounded like an open and shut case, before the county judge. The judge found me guilty. I mean, we read the Supreme Court, the Colorado Supreme Court case that said you have a right to do this. He couldn't care less. He cared about his career and his reputation in a pro-abortion judicial culture. So he found me guilty, sentenced me to 120 days in jail. And I actually was incarcerated in the Jefferson County Jail, and I spent 2 months in jail. 2 months. It was an awesome time. It's like being on a Baptist retreat. You get to share the gospel with a lot of inmates and guards, and you have Bible studies every day. In fact, people who subscribe to our monthly Bible studies, eventually they come across the studies where I was in jail, and we recorded the studies from in jail. Those are sort of fun. We're in the epistles, so it was appropriate. So to find out what happened in Minnesota, what an honor it is to have on the air Christian pastor, former Muslim, Pastor Rahman Parsa. Pastor Parsa, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. It's an honor to be on the air. Thanks for the invitation.
Well, you're very, very welcome. It's our honor to speak with you. Pastor, I'd like to get your testimony, but could we begin sort of going backwards? The charges against you have been dropped.
Yes. Thankfully, by God's grace, through the prayer of many saints, the charges were dropped. But the thing is that we are going to continue. We're going to go after the mall for their misconduct. We're going to go just for a precedent. We're going to tell them that we have our constitutional right in this blessed country to exercise our First Amendment right, to be able to speak our minds. And frankly, I had a private conversation. I wasn't even preaching. I just had a private conversation. But yes,
Minneapolis there has a very heavy Islamic influence. In fact, America's first congressperson is represents Minneapolis, Minnesota, and we have interviewed others over the years who have tried to hand out Bibles, for example, in areas in the upper Midwest where it's so oppressive against Christians who are merely in public and just speaking or sharing the gospel, something that Christians have done for centuries. Now, if you do it in an Islamic area of the U.S., you get arrested.
Absolutely. I mean, it's so absurd because I just saw an article that the two Muslims had a table in the Mall of America, the same place, and they were saying that, you want to know about Islam, we can talk. And basically, they were advertising about Islam and freely in the mall, they had a table. And but a Christian in a private conversation cannot be and exercise his rights. So you know, this is absurd. I mean, if we don't stand up and speak out,
right?
Definitely, we're going to lose our rights. And we see, you know, the Ilhan Omar, the representative from Minnesota, she's a Muslim from Somalia, and she has been a representative only for 4 months. And she got elected in November 2018, and she got sworn in. She got basically sworn in January. And then now, within 4 months, she had made dozens of headlines, anti-Semitic, anti-Christian, anti-American, anti-Israel.
Right.
And just imagine, only in 4 months, one person.
Right.
Imagine if they were more and if they had more power.
Right.
It would be devastating.
Yes. So as we're working backward chronologically, the charges were dropped, and you said this was a private conversation. I've read about the conversation, but could you share with us what happened leading up to you getting arrested?
Well, I was not planning to go to the mall to do evangelism. I was at a church speaking there after the church service. One of the elders and his 14-year-old son said, "We want to show you the city, you know," and they took me to the mall. To show me the mall, they said this is the biggest mall in North America. First time in Minnesota, in Minneapolis, first time at the Mall of America. When I went there, I saw a big, big amount of Muslims, a large amount of Muslims in the mall. Mm. So we walked around, and then we just ran to some Muslims, you know, just randomly. And we began to talk, you know, how are you, where are you from? And they asked me the same question. I told them I'm originally from Iran, and then they asked me if I'm a Muslim. I said, no, I used to be. I'm a Christian now. And they said, why? Well, you know, shockingly, they asked me, why did you change? And I began to give him my testimony, how I became a Christian, how I was a devout Muslim, and then I came to know Jesus as my Savior. And I was giving my testimony. Another Muslim woman who was not a part of the conversation, she listened to me, and she overheard us, and she went and told the guard that, I don't know, whatever she told the guard. When the guard came, I said, hey, guys, you cannot do this here. You cannot talk religion. You cannot solicit here. And I said, no, we are not soliciting. We're just having a conversation.
Right.
Even those two ladies that I was talking to, they argued with that lady that we want to hear why he changed. Anyhow, it just, you know, when they start arguing and the discussion got really intense, we just walked away. We said goodbye, walked away. Everything was over. We walked away, and they walked away.
So Pastor Parsa, yeah. Hold on. Let me get that part more clearly. So you guys were having a private conversation, and this other third person intervened, got security, and the two women you were talking with, they said, hey, we're just talking. We are interested. We want to hear about his story, and you're not allowed to talk about religion. You're not allowed to solicit. You weren't soliciting, but were you actually told you're not allowed to talk about religion?
Yes, I was specifically asked that you cannot talk religion here, you cannot solicit here.
Those are two different things, right? And if,
yes.
Let's say you're sitting at a coffee shop and in a mall and you're talking about whatever, if you're not creating a disturbance, you're just talking. And if you're talking about the Lord, certainly if you were talking about Allah, the security wouldn't have come and harassed you.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
Of course not. We all know that. But then you said it got tense. How did it get tense?
Well, when that lady interrupted us, when she basically went and brought the guard and told the guard, reported to the guard, when the guard came and the guard said he cannot do this here, he cannot talk religion here, and then those two ladies began to argue with that lady who basically brought the guard, and that want to hear, you know, why he changed. So those two ladies and that lady began to argue with each other, that we want to hear why he changed. And then, so when we saw it's getting a little bit, you know, argumentative, we just walked away. We said goodbye. And frankly, we were in a hurry. We just want to see the mall. And the mall also almost was closing. So we just were
just seeing
the mall and, you know, walk away. We went to a coffee shop and then to get some coffee. And that's when basically everything was over at that point. Went to the coffee shop. We got some coffee. And when we came out, three guards were waiting for us. And they told me that you must leave immediately. And I said, why? They said, because you're soliciting, you're talking religion here. I said, no, we just had a private conversation. I'm a guest here. I began to explain to them, I'm a guest in the state, in Minnesota. I'm here to speak at a church. And so I began to tell them, and then, they grabbed my coffee and they handcuffed me and they took me to the basement of the mall. They call it mall jail. And they handcuffed both my hands to a chair bolted to the ground.
Wow.
It was a metal chair. It was bolted to the ground. And they handcuffed both my hands to the chair. I could not believe that this is happening here in America.
In America.
I told them I'm a pastor.
Yeah. In Iran, Pastor Parsa, in Iran, a Christian might get persecuted. In America, a Christian gets persecuted. And
Absolutely. Especially,
not only, but especially if you're in an area with a heavy Muslim influence.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's happening. It's coming. And unfortunately, the media is covering up for them.
Yes.
The persecution of Christians, we see that's what's happening in this country. I mean, just a couple of weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, a Christian representative in Pennsylvania, she was basically praying in the name of Jesus. The next day, she was attacked like never before. She was attacked that this was harassment, this was Islamophobia. I mean, she prayed in the name of Jesus.
Right, which is exactly what Christians have been doing for 2,000 years. Pastor, we've been praying in the name of Jesus, of course.
Yes, absolutely. And then this woman prayed in the name of Jesus. I mean, the next day, the Democrats, the media attacked her. This was Islamophobia. This was an attack. This was harassment. And then the governor of Pennsylvania issued an apology. An apology to the Muslims and to the minorities in the House and in the Congress of the Pennsylvania. And then the next day they read the Quran and they applaud. I mean, imagine the persecution that is happening to Christians.
So,
and it's just, if we don't wake up, it's going to get severe and severe.
Pastor, before we continue with your story of being arrested there and handcuffed to the chair, if we could for a moment, let's talk about the left in America. We call them liberals, the secular part of our culture, who has a knee-jerk reaction against Christians and for Muslims. And that's interesting because since 9/11, there have been approximately 31,000 fatal terrorist attacks committed by Muslims around the world. 31,000, not 31. Not 3,000, 31,000 attacks. We have that list linked to at our website, kgov.com/terror. But you have people in the media who are strongly against much of the morality that's taught in the Quran. And if they were in many Muslim places in the world, they might be arrested or possibly even executed. Yet they have this reaction in support of Islam. And here at Bob and Yurt Live, we've analyzed it this way. I'd like to know what you think. But ultimately, the unbeliever is against Jesus Christ, ultimately. And so the atheist in the media or the secular democratic politician, they see Muslims as being against Jesus Christ, being against fundamentalist evangelical Christianity. So they have an affinity for Islam. Because the enemy of my enemy is my friend, and they think ultimately of Jesus Christ as their enemy. That's why they like the very people who might even behead them eventually.
Absolutely, I agree with that. I mean, the thing is, if you notice throughout the history, I'm coming from Iran, the nation that wrote the first human rights declaration. Today, the same nation is the second violator of the human rights. And throughout the history, the leftists and the Islamists have colluded with each other in order to bring down societies and nations. Iran, in 1979, was a free nation. The economy was great. People could exercise their faith, whatever they believed. And in 1979, the leftist university professors, the university students, and the Marxist and the Islamist, they clued with each other, and then they caused a revolution. They demonized the Shah. The media, BBC, was broadcasting the Ayatollah's messages every day, and basically demonized the Shah that he's an American puppet. And so Shah was a decent man. He left. He was without killing people. He left. He didn't want bloodshed. Mm. And unfortunately, Iran fell in the hands of the Islamists. And today we see what's happening with Iran as being the first sponsor of terrorism. We just had yesterday, President Trump designated the Islamic Revolutionary Guard in Iran as a terrorist organization, which was long overdue. So we see this nation was devastated because of the Islamic ideologies and the Marxist ideology. So the same thing I see happening in America. Mm. I see the university students, university professors demonizing the media, demonizing the president. We see same thing, the same method is happening here. Mm-hmm. They are basically demonizing America. You know, I just had a guy from Russia who came to America with a green card, and he came to America as he saw the nation. He saw the markets, the stores, and he saw the prosperity of this nation, that the things we have, the things that this country has. He was so amazed. So my point is that a lot of these people have never been outside of America to see how other people live in other countries and how blessed and how free America is. You can exercise your freedom. But then, unfortunately, the same people in the media and in academia, they are demonizing this country. They're bringing this nation down. They are highlighting the dark history of this nation, which, by the way, was done by the hand of the same groups. If you look at the concept of the slavery, it was the Democrats who were pro-slavery. Hmm. If you look at the segregation, it was the Democrats who were against basically the segregation, and they actually voted against the Civil Rights Act. So we see throughout history that these people, they are the ones who are trying to bring this nation down, and they have devastated all nations. Christians, on the other hand, they have done great things for the world. It was a Christian who fought against the slavery. Actually, the first person who spoke against the slavery was Elijah Timothy Lovejoy. He was a pastor in Missouri that spoke, and he had a publication. He spoke against the slavery, and they killed him, and that sparked the Civil War. That Abraham Lincoln, a Christian president, he fought against slavery. He was the first Republican president. If we come to the Civil Rights Movement, Martin Luther King Jr., he was a Christian pastor. He peacefully protested and spoke against segregation and against the racism that was perpetrated by the Democrats.
And Pastor Parsa, we have talked on the air over the years about William Lloyd Garrison, a great abolitionist here in America, fighting with other Christians to end slavery. And over in Britain, of course, the celebrated Christian abolitionist William Wilberforce, and so many, and they were hated. They were actually hated even by many religious leaders and political leaders. They were hated because they said that each individual is made in God's image, in God's likeness. And so this kind of slavery where you kidnap people on the basis of their skin color and you sell them as property, this is a tremendous crime against humanity. And so it was the Christians who fought for abolition who eventually won the battle. It was the Absolutely. Christians who were the most extreme who won the battle.
I mean, John Newton, he's the one who wrote the song Amazing Grace, the famous song Amazing Grace. Yes. And he was a slave owner. And then after he became a Christian, he repented and he fought against slavery to the end of his life. And the day he died, the next day, slavery was abolished in Great Britain. So we see that Christians throughout history have done great things for the world. Mm. The true Christians, the born-again Christians, the spiritual Christians who have sacrificed so much to make this world a better place. I have friends right now, as I'm speaking, who are missionaries in third world countries, in Tanzania, in Kenya, in China, in the places that in Burma, the places that people don't even imagine to go. They are having orphanages, hospitals, they're building churches, the schools, serving the world. In Haiti, I have a friend who is a pastor and also a teacher, and he takes on his vacation with his family, goes to Haiti, helping the people of Haiti. So Christians have done great things for the world. On the other hand, you look at Islamists. Having a bomb strapped to them, going around, blowing people up and killing people, and and causing devastation. There is not even one Islamic country in the world where you can find freedom or tolerance of other faiths. So, but Christians, they welcome them. I mean, look at Germany, look at France. These people, although they have gone away from Christianity, but they opened their arms to the refugees who came. And then the refugees, in response, what they do? They want to overthrow their government. They protest. They closed up the streets to pray publicly and disobey the laws. And so we see that this is really getting to a point where it's absurd. I mean, the people of the world needs to wake up.
Well, when the media here, like in Colorado, the Denver Post, the TV News, they'll say that Islam is tolerant, a religion of tolerance. But then we ask, how many synagogues are in Mecca? You know, it's a city, 500 square mile city of a million people. None. How many churches are in the entire country of Saudi Arabia?
Yeah.
None. Islam is the religion of intolerance, and they say it's the religion of peace, but Saudi Arabia, Iran, and four other Islamic countries have laws that call for the death penalty of a Muslim who converts to Christianity or some other religion, or, in fact, if you denigrate Muhammad or Allah. So when someone says Islam is a religion of peace and tolerance, I ask where? You know, where?
Exactly.
Where
exactly.
Is that the case?
These people have never even cracked the Quran open. They just, you know, they just say it's a religion of peace and tolerance, which is a lie. I mean, not only that, Saudi Arabia, before Islam, was a place, was a marketplace. I mean, city of Medina and Mecca were places like, you know, imagine like today, like New York, like Los Angeles. People would come and do trade. People from all walks of life, you know, Christians, Jews, atheists, idol worshippers, all kinds of people. They lived together in freedom. They traded together. The caravans would come from all different big cities, from Jerusalem, come to Mecca, to Medina. And it was a free market. Even Muhammad's first wife, Khadija, I mean, she was a Jewish woman who was a businesswoman. Muhammad worked for her. And before Muhammad claimed to be a prophet, he was working for her. So Saudi Arabia was a place where a woman, a Jewish woman, could be a businesswoman. Mm. Today, women don't have the right to drive or to vote or to rent an apartment. I mean, this is the fruit of Islam. Mm. So the idea, the notion that Islam is peaceful is, I don't know where they get that from, but if you look at the text in the Quran, the hadith, the writings of Islam, Islamic scholars, they all say the same thing, that Islam is superior and the whole world must come under the dominion of Islam, the Sharia, to establish Sharia law, and they do it at any cost. And it's unfortunate to see they're doing it subtly, coming into this country as refugees, and then they run for office. And then imagine when they get more power.
Jesus
when
Christ.
When they get more power, they start killing people.
Yes, Pastor Parr said, Jesus Christ is God the Son, and he was sent by the Father to die for those who would trust in him so they could have everlasting life. Today, and really for centuries, by Islam, they claim that Allah is telling us to send our children to kill for him. Suicide bombing of children and women.
Well, Islam comes from the root, you know, the Arabs, who are basically where the Islam came from, Saudi Arabia, they are descendants of Ishmael and Esau. Imagine Ishmael had this feeling of rejection after him and his mom left Abraham's house. And then we look at Esau, who lost his blessing, his firstborn right, and sold it to his brother Jacob. And then Jacob ran away from him, but then he had a hatred toward Jacob. So Ishmael had a hatred toward Isaac, and then Esau had a hatred toward Jacob. And then Esau married Ishmael's daughter, and from them comes the Amalekites, and then eventually comes to Arab nations. Mm. And we see that this hatred is historical, it's spiritual, and it's rooted in their hearts. And, I mean, they demonize the Jews. I remember when I was a kid in the school in Iran, they told us every morning, they taught us to chant death to America and death to Israel, every morning. And this was how we started schools. They would read the Quran to us, and then they would ask us to chant death to America, death to Israel.
Just yesterday in Tehran, the parliament there, they open up their session chanting death to America. You'd think they could get a different chant, maybe.
Exactly. And right now, Iran, you know, was devastated because of a flood. You know, many cities, many cities have disappeared because of the flood. And then these people, the parliament members, they haven't done anything to help the people. And not only that, so they are, but they are very ready to come against America. That's exactly what Ilhan Omar is doing. Ilhan Omar was a refugee. She was from Somalia that was destroyed by the Islamists, by the Al-Shabaab. And she ran away, and she was in Kenya for 4 years as a refugee. A church helped her to come to America as a refugee. A Lutheran church helped her to come to America. She came to America, and eventually she became a state representative in Minnesota. And then eventually she became a U.S. congresswoman. So now, imagine, after America has done so much for her, allowing her to come to this country, becoming a representative in the U.S. Congress. Now, and instead of speaking out against Al-Shabaab and those Islamists who destroyed her country of origin, the first thing she does when she gets in power, attacking Israel, the only democracy in the Middle East. I mean, imagine, after America has done so much for you, giving you so much opportunities that you never could imagine to have it in an Islamic country. You could never imagine to become a congresswoman or a parliament member in Somalia or in an Islamic country. And then she comes here, she becomes a congresswoman, and then the first thing she does after she becomes the congresswoman, she attacks Israel and the Jewish nation, and she attacks the president. This is showing the hypocrisy and the danger of Islam.
Here in Denver, we've done radio programs on our own local connection to Islamic terror. In fact, we have the Denver Islamic Society on South Birch Street, and it was founded by a terrorist who was convicted of raping an underage Indonesian girl. He was Hamadan Al-Turki, and he had purchased this girl in Saudi Arabia, and she was rescued by local law enforcement. She was chained to the water heater in this imam's basement. And the stories go on and on. Terrorist Anwar al-Awlaki, killed by a U.S. drone strike in Yemen. It's astounding, the connections right here in Denver, the Colorado Muslim community, to Islamic terror. And yet our media is so irresponsible and giving people a false sense of security that this is all peace and love and tolerance. So we are about out of time, Pastor Rahman Parsa, but how long were you chained to that chair, and then why do you think the charges were released?
I was chained for almost 4 hours there at the mall. In fact, I asked him for water. They refused to give me water. And then what happened was they wanted to take my picture for the report. And I said, no, you have no right to take my picture. You arrested me falsely. So when I asked him for water, they said, well, we'll make a deal with you. If you allow us to take your picture, we'll give you water. And I said, no. So they didn't give me water.
Wow.
I was sitting there for hours, no water. I asked him for a restroom. They didn't allow me to go. They let me go once, and then they asked him a second time after a couple hours. They didn't let me go. And then toward the end, right before the police came, they gave me a half a cup of water. And then even when they did it, they asked me, they said, we really need a picture. I said, no. Eventually, the police came. The police even didn't ask what happened. He just read the report, and then he took me to the police station.
Wow.
And I was there. They did my mug shots, my fingerprinting, and then I basically bailed myself out. So I came out of jail like 2 a.m. in the morning. My pastor friend picked me up.
We are, Pastor, I apologize. There's our closing music. We're out of time, but I'm so thankful that you love the Lord and that we're on the side of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And
thank
so
you.
We'll link to your work so our audience can find out more about you. God bless you, Pastor.
God bless you too. Thank you so much.
Thank you.